Ohio State beats Penn State for the second time this season. One area where the Buckeyes have a weakness on offense, and Marcus Freeman adds another member to the Notre Dame coaching staff that has ties to the Buckeyes. All that and more in this episode of Locked On Buckeyes.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeyes fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Monday, January 17th in the year 2022. And today's episode is brought to you by Sonos. Experience the game like never before with Sonos Arc, the premium smart soundbar for TV, movies, music, gaming, and more. Visit Sonos.com to learn more. I would also like to thank everyone out there for making this podcast their first listen of every single day. The Buckeyes won in a way on Sunday that I don't think many anticipated going into the game. Penn State was without their leading scorer, Seth Lundy, who leads the way with 14 points per game for the Nittany Lions. Ohio State was also without Michi Johnson, their backup point guard, in this game as well. So when you hear about those details, you know about what Ohio State has offensively, you're probably thinking like me, Ohio State's offense, somebody's going to step up. This may be the game Justin Arnes' shot comes back. This is going to be a breeze. Wrong. That's exactly what it was not. It was not a breeze. It was a struggle for Ohio State. The shots weren't falling. The offense wasn't flowing. Penn State got off to a decent start. They were hitting all of their shots. They were getting better looks than Ohio State. Ohio State was struggling to put the ball in the basket and get high percentage shots early. The next thing you know, Ohio State goes on a 19-4 run early in the game, stretches the lead to 23-14, and then things changed. Penn State kind of turned things up. Ohio State's defense during that 19-4 run kind of to ratchet things up. Didn't just go up two notches, three notches, sometimes five and even six, because they realized our shots aren't falling today. The things we normally do offensively, they're not working. And we have to figure things out right now for us to be successful and for us to win this game. We talk about how the shots aren't falling, but this was a little bit more alarming than I thought it was when I looked at the numbers. Ohio State only shot 39% from the field, 25% from downtown, only made 3 3-pointers in this game. They also shot 67% from the charity stripe. On the opposite side, on the other bench, Penn State didn't do much better. Penn State only shot 40% from the field, 27% from downtown, only shot 57% from the free throw line. So free throws were hard to come by in this game. I still think that Ohio State, in their legs and their wind, they're still getting their legs under them, getting their wind back from their long 22-day COVID pause. I still think there are lingering effects from missing the basketball games. Then you add in the health things that are there as well. Don't know who tested positive. Don't know who is still having lingering issues. But all we know is sometimes when you get the COVID, sometimes it takes your lungs from you. And you know when you're not playing basketball, you're not working out for a long period of time, you get back on the court, got to get your legs back. And I think Ohio State is saying that right now. There are numerous times, even early in the game, where you think you would be your freshest on free throws. It was E.J. Liddell got fouled on a three-point shot, and I know this pops into my head right now. He got fouled, and he goes to the free throw line. The first two free throws were short to the front, hit the front of the rim and bounced back. Back-to-back shots. Now, the third one, he swished it, got things right, but it wasn't just that. Ohio State shot and their legs seemed like they didn't have their legs under them. And in a game like this, when you're playing a Penn State team who has talent, and Michael Shrewsbury is a really good defensive coach on the basketball, defensive coach, and when it comes to basketball, he that's a great way for, where he is a great basketball mind in that area. You knew it was going to be tough. But you know what is going to be tough? You need to step up in that way, and Ohio State did not do that. However, there was a part in the second half where E.J. Liddell did step up in an amazing way. Ohio State only had two players in double digits in this game. Liddell had 19 on 6 of 11 shooting from the field, 1 of 2 from downtown, and then Zed Key had 10 points, 4 of 11 shooting from the field. He also added in 4 rebounds. Liddell led the way with 8 rebounds for the Buckeyes. Justin Arnes had 7. Justin Arnes also hit a 3 His first three in quite a long time. He was 1 of 4 from downtown. On the Penn State side, Sam Sessoms led the way for Penn State with 15 points. And then Pickett, the other double player in double figures for Penn State, he had 11. Wins in the Big Ten, they're tough. When you have to grind it out, you have to do things that you're not normally used to, those are tough as well. And a great takeaway from this game is that when you look back at this game at the start of the NCAA tournament, knowing that Ohio State's going to be playing teams that are not as talented as them, don't have a record like them, don't have a player like them, and then you add into it that Ohio State still has not played a basketball game with everybody healthy. Seth Towns is still not healthy. Justice Suing is still not healthy. Michi Johnson missed this game. I mean, even the abnormal reality is Chris Holtmann missed a game. He did not get cleared to coach again until the day of the Wisconsin game, where he flew up late to join the team because that's when he got cleared. These are all things that Ohio State can take away and look at down the road and say, hey, remember that Penn State game? Remember that Penn State game? We didn't have Michi, didn't have Justice, didn't have Seth. Remember how Chris Holtmann was not, he had to miss a game and he didn't get cleared until the day of the game to rejoin the team. Remember all the setbacks and the hardships, and remember all the things that we went through during this season. And all of a sudden, we are the team now that has been battle tested. We are the team now that went through the gauntlet that is a Big Ten conference schedule. We are the team that people kind of counted out because we didn't really have our second best player. We are the team that was counted out because our second best player might be a freshman, but he's a freshman. Can we count on a freshman in the big moments when the lights are the brightest in the NCAA tournament? Can we count on him? Can we count on Zed Key to do the things that Zed Key has done to kind of be a big piece and a huge part of this team? People want to count us out. People want to say that Ohio State can't do it. And then all of a sudden, Ohio State players can look at themselves and say, we have been battle tested. We are the ones that have been doing things that nobody else has done. We are the ones that are doing amazing things on the basketball court that people didn't think we could do. We got this. We could do this. They can look back at this Penn State basketball game and say, despite all of these things that were going against us, when people counted us out, we are the team that went through the gauntlet and played up to and better than people expected. Even when our shot wasn't falling, we found ways to win the game. Ohio State wins 61-56 over the Penn State Nittany Lions. That's a good win in the Big Ten. It's a good win no matter what conference you're in. It's the new year, so that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good. You'll want to eat it. Unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky or waxy or taste like a chemical spill, you want to eat healthy, but it just gets so boring. By like week 3, you might be thinking, this is just not worth it. Where's the chocolate? Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Here's an idea for the new year. Go to all your secret treat stashes at home, in the pantry, at the office, in the car, or wherever they are. Throw out all the sugary or calorie-filled treats and replace them with Built Bars. So when you're craving a snack or treat, you can reach for something that's healthy and tastes incredible. Go to Built.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, and it's all one word to receive 15% off your next order. Once again, go to Built.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off at Built.com. Thank you for tuning in to Locked On Buckeyes here on this Monday in the month of January in the year 2022, which is also Martin Luther King Day. We can all be thankful for the efforts of Martin Luther King because of what he did, we are able to live the lives that we live today. One area of concern for Ohio State is not an area that just popped up against Penn State. It's an area of concern that's been there for quite a while. Trey Demps from the Big Ten Network talked about it last week, and it reared its ugly head once again. Ohio State has a tendency, a lot of teams too, to try to force feed the basketball inside to the post. No matter if it's Kyle Young, no matter if it's EJ Liddell, no matter if it's Zed Key, even sometimes Joey Brunk, different skill set. Joey Brunk does not want it. You're going to post up, give him 3 or 4 dribbles down low. But no matter who the big man is down low, Ohio State loves to force feed, push that thing in. Even if the entry pass can't get through, Ohio State wants to push the ball into the big man and work it that way. But one thing I see when Ohio State does this is, one, people stop moving around. It's kind of like when you're at an amusement park and you're with your kids, and your kid sees Mickey Mouse for the very first time, and all of a sudden you have your plan, you have your day all set up, you have your plan for the day, and then the next thing you know, you're trying to go to the next attraction, and then your son sees, or your kid, son or daughter, sees Mickey Mouse for the very first time. And all of a sudden, not only are they stopping and looking and oohing and aahing, but also you are stopping your path and what's supposed to happen as you ooh and ah and possibly drool out of your mouth. You don't even know what's happening as you see Mickey Mouse and you see your kid's reaction after seeing Mickey Mouse for the very first time. That's something that pops into my head when I'm looking at this Ohio State basketball team. But this is not the only basketball team where this happens, where the ball goes inside and feet stop. The ball goes inside and everyone's playing freeze tag. This isn't the only time, but it's a concern for Ohio State because when they force feed the ball inside, it's not really the worst thing in the world to force feed it sometimes because you want to try to get that, you want to try to get that inside presence started. But the problem is you have no answer. You have no answer once it gets inside. You don't feel where the double team's coming. You don't know where the shooters are. You have no idea where your personnel is and where each player is spotted on the court. So the next thing we find out, oh, turnover. Oh, missed shot. Oh, missed shot. Nobody crashing the boards. Blah, 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 blah. It's the same story over and over and over again. Ohio State wants to force feed it, and they don't realize there are four other players that need to still be engaged, physically and mentally engaged to the game, even though the ball's going inside. Another problem with force feeding the ball inside, kind of hinted at it earlier, Ohio State's entry passes aren't always the best. Instead of just trying to instead of looking and seeing, well, I can't make this pass, just pass it back out, move the ball back around. No, we're going to throw it in every time. Throw it in. Come on now, let's use our brains. If I can't make the pass, if the pass I need to make can't go inside to where it needs to go, well, should I make the pass? Or should I make the ball go somewhere else to compensate for what I can't do right now? Let's use our brains. As humans, as people, if there is a roadblock in front of you, an obstacle that you cannot get around, yes, you're not going to go through that very thing. This is not a literal speed bump where a speed bump, you can get over it, you can go over said speed bump, but there's going to be a hiccup along the way. It's not that. This is literally, you're driving, and then all of a sudden, there's a wall right there. And if you keep going, you're going to hit the wall, and you're going to be stopped, and your efforts are going to go the opposite way. The car is going to hit the wall, bounce back, or hit the wall and stop. You're not going to keep going in the movement, in the way, in the movement that you plan on going. The same thing, when you try to force feed the ball inside, there's going to be numerous times where the defense knows it's coming. The defense, if you have a John Hare from Penn State who confronts you or can really mess up your attack inside, man, oh man, I sure hope that they're looking at this stuff right now because you have a game against the IUPUI coming up tomorrow. Should be a breeze. Mid-major basketball team. Just a team you're trying to put on the roster to fill some space to get another game under your belt after you had three games canceled. Almost four, but you had three games canceled. Then you get back to Big Ten play. I believe they have a game against Nebraska coming up this weekend. Don't quote me on that. Not looking in front of my computer, in front of my calendar. But then you get back to the Big Ten play after the IUPUI game. Yeah, the IUPUI game should be a breeze, should be a win. You should be able to work on some things that haven't been going so well. You should be able to work on some things that haven't been going well. Maybe Justin Arns gets his shot back. Maybe Liddell gets another 20 piece. Maybe gets 20 and 10 against IUPUI. Maybe Malachi Branham puts up 15, then 5 and 5, 15 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. Maybe those are the types of things we get against IUPUI. But the thing is, once you get back to Big Ten play, I do think Ohio State's going to continue to try to force feed the basketball inside to no matter who is in there. If that's the plan, get a plan B. Get a plan C. Get a plan D. Because if you don't, you're going to be going up against teams like a Michigan, like an Iowa, like Illinois, like a Purdue, like Indiana, because you do play them again. Now, the next time you play Indiana will be at home, but you play Purdue and Mackey. We saw what happened during the NCAA tournament when Big Ten teams went to Mackey to play last year when everything was held inside the state of Indiana. Mackey Arena is not the best place for Big Ten teams. Not sure what it is, that barn-like atmosphere, I don't know. But for some reason, when Big Ten teams go to Mackey, things are a little bit weirder than you expect. And I do think if Ohio State doesn't figure things out with this pushing the ball inside, because they have enough talent, this isn't a team that has no talent at all. They have enough talent that to throw the ball inside, if it doesn't work out, kick it back out, and move the ball around that yard, around the barn, until you get another shot. A clean shot, a good shot, a healthy shot. The talent is there to do so. I just wonder what it's going to take for these guys to get out of this rut of consistently throwing the ball inside. Because once they get out of said rut of throwing the ball inside and realizing, hey, I could throw it inside, throw it back out, throw it inside, throw it back out, throw it inside, throw it back out, go around the horn. Oh, arms is wide open. Why? Because you got a quick pass around to swing that thing around. There's ways to make that happen. But when it's a problem and you keep doing it and the defense knows you're going to do it, they know how to stop it, and you don't counter their attack, baby, that's a problem. Ohio State has an issue on offense, but the good thing is it can be fixed. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and it's all one word to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. You are tapped into Locked On Buckeyes here on this Monday, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. For those of you that are listening to the audio version of the podcast or either the Odyssey app, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, or wherever you get your fine podcast, I want to remind you to subscribe on the app you're using right now. Apple Podcast, the Odyssey app, Spotify, Google Podcast, or wherever you get your fine podcast, make sure you subscribe. Apple Podcast listeners, leave a 5-star review and a rating. It's a great way to help the show grow, and it's free to do so. And then for those of you on the YouTube, subscribe there as well. Hit the like button on this video and make sure you hit that bell so you're notified every time a new video goes live. Marcus Freeman, former Ohio State linebacker, now the head coach at the University of Notre Dame, has one job: fill a coaching staff. And make sure you fill the coaching staff not just with a body or someone that has been coaching for a while, but make sure you fill the coaching staff with people that you believe can do the job needed to lead Notre Dame to a national championship win. That's his job. That's what Notre Dame's goals are. It's been a long time since they've met that goal, but that's what their goal is, or that's one of their goals. So one of the people that he added to the coaching staff, James Laurinaitis, former teammate of Marcus Freeman at The Ohio State University. James Laurinaitis was a sports talk radio host, co-host, on 97.1 The Fan in Columbus. He also calls the football games for the Big Ten Network. Remember last year he called the spring game for Ohio State. He is now on the coaching staff at Notre Dame. But now Marcus Freeman has added somebody else that has ties to Columbus, a man that was just in Columbus last year. Most recently, January 1st, he was coaching for Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. Mr. Al Washington, he has been hired to be the defensive run game coordinator for the University of Notre Dame and the defensive line coach. I'm back and looked at Al Washington's coaching career and where he has coached at previously and if he has coached the defensive line at all. He did coach the defensive line at Slippery Rock is a college football team at Slippery Rock University in Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania. Never heard of that part of the country. Well, I've heard of that. I've heard of Pennsylvania. Just didn't know there was a Slippery Rock University. He coached defensive line there. Then he also coached defensive line at Boston College, as well as special teams. He also coached the defensive line at the University of Cincinnati in 2017. So this is not something new for Mr. Al Washington, where he's coaching a position group that he has never coached before. We saw something last year, well, this past season, where Ohio State had a man coaching in an area and having a title that he had never done before. Kerry Coombs didn't last long, got promoted to defensive coordinator, and we saw how long that lasted for him during the 2021 football season. I find it very interesting that Marcus Freeman is going this route to get guys that had ties to Columbus. He has made some interesting statements to where people that are Buckeye fans might think Marcus Freeman is unappreciative of what happens to Columbus. Marcus Freeman does not understand or does not think what's going on in Columbus is right. And there are reasons for you to think so. He's made some questionable or interesting comments that might make you scratch your head and say, hey, you are what you are. Part of the reason you are who you are is because of what you did at Ohio State. Now, granted, you're playing days. That's one thing. Getting to the NFL because you're at Ohio State, or part of the reason because you're at Ohio State, that's one thing too. But then when you go to get to where you are now as a 35-year-old head coach at Notre Dame, a lot of people will say, well, you being in Columbus helps you. I do think he's very appreciative of what goes on in Columbus, not just when he was there under Jim Tressel, but also when Urban Meyer was a head coach, also during the interim year when things could have really collapsed for Ohio State under Luke Fickell, and then also right now under Ryan Day. Notre Dame wants to be what Ryan Day, what not. Notre Dame wants to be, let's get this correct, what Ohio State currently is. They want to be where they are. They want to be looked at like Ohio State. They want to be a team that is consistently in the playoff, consistently in a New Year's Six Bowl, consistently a team that people think has a shot to win the college football playoff national championship, a team that everybody respects, a team that everybody looks at and says, we don't want to play them. We don't want to play them at all. Now, the 2021 season was a rare one, an odd one, but in most years, you can look at Ohio State and say, no matter who you are, you don't want to play the Buckeyes. They have a good defensive line. They have offensive linemen that are going to the NFL. They have a running back that is a future All-American. They have a quarterback that'll be a first-round draft pick. They have corners and defensive players that do all of these things very, very well. They have all of these things that are top-notch. Yeah, granted, some things may not be in some years, but in most years they do. That's what Notre Dame wants to be. And even though Al Washington didn't have the best tenure at Ohio State, and we can look back and say, well, things weren't proper for Al Washington while at Ohio State, I still think he is a well-respected coach. I think if you go out there and talk to coaches in coaching circles around college football, or even those that have coached with or coached against Al Washington, they're going to say certain things about him as a coach, certain things about him as on-field coach, off-the-field recruiting, things of that nature. I have seen former players on Twitter thank Al Washington for things he has done that were off the field, helping young men, teaching young men how to be men. All of those types of things are things that I think Marcus Freeman wants on his coaching staff. He wants a man like Al Washington there to help lead the young men in South Bend. Yeah, Ohio State fans might have a little sour taste in their mouth for Al Washington, but I don't think Al Washington's coaching career at 37 years old is over. I think he'll still be a Power 5 coach down the line at some point. And I do think, you know, he'll continue to be a Power 5 coach, but I do think the upper echelon, top tier, upper tier of coaching jobs in college football on the defensive side of the ball, I think Al Washington will learn from what happened at Ohio State, will get better from what happened at Ohio State. And man, let me tell you, this matchup, September the 3rd, Ohio State, Notre Dame, playing in the Shoe, just got a little bit spicier, just got everybody's antennas a little bit more in tune to what's going on in South Bend and in Columbus. And I sure hope you are making plans to be in the Shoe for the season opener. as these two blue bloods in college football battle it out during week one of the 2022 college football season. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to this Monday episode of Locked On Buckeyes. You can follow me on Twitter at jsteven07. Tomorrow, the plan is to have Jeff Hunt from the Off the Ball Network with us to provide our end-of-year grade for the head coach at Ohio State, Mr. Ryan Day. For Jay Stevens, this is Locked On Buckeyes here on this Martin Luther King Day. I hope you enjoy your off day and maybe play in some snow, because looks like everybody has snow around them right now.